In the door knocking that we have had over this past week, we came across several Jehovah's Witnesses. We have had some discussions with some and are going to have an ongoing study with some others. Everyone knows Jehovah's Witnesses have a reputation for going door to door. They do it more often than we do. Of course, that may be because they're required to do it. But they are doing it more than we are. Not that we neglect it. We frequently do the same thing. But it does tend to explain why, because of their frequency of doing so, that we come across so many Jehovah's Witnesses as we are going door to door ourselves. So it might be worth asking the question, well, what are their teachings? We could discuss many of those, but we want to look at just a few that will give us an indication of what they are doing when they go door to door. And we're not making up anything. We don't have to. And I wouldn't, even if I had the opportunity to. We are simply going by what they have written and what they have published. So tonight we'd like to discuss three related topics, kind of intertwined. The Bible, truth, and authority. First of all, they have their own translation. I have a copy of it here. For years, I had the little green volume, and I decided to get the tall version. Now, they have a lot more materials in here, but this is the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. So if we mention that, it is not that we have read about it somewhere. We have looked at it. I have read the entire translation, I have examined it, and we're only going to pick a few things from it that we want to discuss this evening. Now, not many religious groups have their own translation. That's kind of unusual. Most of us rely on the translations of biblical scholars that we have seen produced over the centuries. So you might ask yourself, why do they feel like they need their own translation? If you ask them who translated it, they will not tell you. They will tell you, well, the translators wanted to be anonymous so that God would have the glory. What that means is they kept it anonymous so we would not know how unqualified the people who translated it were. In the Jehovah's Witnesses, the first three presidents were Russell, Judge Rutherford, and Nathan Knorr. These are past presidents of the Watchtower Society. The New World Translation was originally translated the New Testament in 1950, and then the Old Testament was made available in 1961. Since that time, there have been several editions, 70, 71, the one I have here is 84, and I don't know how many others there might be. But even though Jehovah's Witnesses will not tell you who translated it, the son of one of the translators did. One was Fred Frantz. He was the principal translator of the New World Translation, along with Nathan Knorr, a man who would later be president, Abler, Schroeder, and George, and I don't know how to pronounce that. It might be Genghis or Ganges, I don't know, but that's his name. What were Fred Frantz's qualifications? He had 2 years of Greek. Well, that would be like going to college and having a couple years of Greek. I couldn't begin to tell you how much you don't know after only 2 years. But if you've studied a foreign language, you know that you're just scratching the surface in 2 years. You are certainly not a Greek scholar. He self-taught himself Hebrew. Well, I self-taught myself Greek. And I quit because I didn't have anybody to ask questions to find answers. I didn't know. So I have a couple of years of Greek too, self-taught. I would not try a translation based on that. But they did. In other words, these men were not qualified to translate the Bible. They had no proficiency to go from one language to another. And even that fact alone gives you some idea of how they view the Scriptures. You can't have a very healthy respect for the Scriptures with when very limited knowledge you attempt to translate it from the original languages into English. But you'll see some more things about that later on. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that they highly regard truth. And I'm going to take something from one of their textbooks that they used for a couple of decades called The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. And this is the one part of the book that we're going to agree with, because what they say here agrees with the Scriptures. We need to examine not only what we personally believe, but also what is taught by any religious organization with which we may be associated. So in case you're wondering what gives us the right to examine Jehovah's Witnesses, they do. They give us that right. They encourage it. We should be able to examine what any religious organization with which we may be associated teaches. So we are only following their advice when we take a look at them. Are its teachings in full accord with God's Word? Or are they based on the traditions of men? If we are lovers of the truth, there is nothing to fear from an examination. Amen. There is nothing to fear. And in fact, not only is that true on an individual basis, that's true, period. And so, even before going any further, I will say that if Jehovah's Witnesses want a public discussion on any of these matters, we will arrange one. If they believe things should be examined, and that people have nothing to fear, then let them engage in a four-night debate where we can examine the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. We'll see how earnestly they respond to their own advice. It should be the sincere desire of every one of us to learn what God's will is for us and then to do it. Exactly right. And so we call upon them to do it. There's nothing to fear, and it should be the desire of anyone. You can learn a lot in a public discussion. You know, when somebody comes into your house and sits down with you and takes out this book, Truth That Leads to Eternal Life, they know they're not going to probably get any opposition or anybody who disagrees. But in a public discussion, in a debate, those things are going to surface. We're going to see who has the best case, who has the best evidence. And we don't feel like we have anything to fear. In fact, I would venture to say members of the Churches of Christ have had more debates than any other religious group. And in some cases, maybe combined over the others. We don't have anything to fear. And so we're willing to do that. The question is, are they? Now, we want to go on to notice something I think is interesting. You remember Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Now notice this. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now you remember what Satan did? He came along and in Genesis 3:4, the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. Look at that. God said, You will surely die. Satan says, You will not surely die. A plain, clear contradiction. Well, now let me show you a plain, clear contradiction that Jehovah's Witnesses have with the Scriptures. Acts 22:16, And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The truth that leads to eternal life. What then does Christian baptism signify? Notice this from page 183. It is not a washing away of one's sins, because cleansing from sin comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice that. You shall surely die. You will not surely die. The Scriptures, be baptized and wash away your sins. Jehovah's Witnesses, baptism is not a washing away of one's sins. They have directly contradicted the Bible in that statement, just as Satan contradicted God. But they have an out for this, they think, because in their New World Translation, they have changed the translation so that it does not read it the way every other translation does. They have, rise, get baptized, and wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. Now, there are two things wrong with that. One linguistically, and one just a matter of knowing the Scriptures. First of all, in the Greek, there is no preposition translated by. It is not there. They made that up and threw it in their translation. It is not in the King James. It is not in the New King James. It is not in the American Standard. It is not in the New American Standard. It is not in the English Standard Version. Not even the Revised Standard Version. Even the NIV doesn't have it that way. I could find one place where it said by, and that's a paraphrase. The New Living Translation, which nobody takes seriously as a translation work. Calling is not the object of a preposition. In the Greek text, there is a comma followed by calling on the name of the Lord. There is no by. The second thing, that's linguistically, we can show that that translation is just simply erroneous. And why is it in there, by the way? Why is it erroneous? Because it fits their theology. It's not an honest translation, but it does fit their theology. Now, the second way that we know that that is false is because in the Bible, sins are not removed by words. Where would you find that in the Scriptures? No, instead, what we find is, he who believes and is baptized, that is, has his sins washed away, as Acts 22:16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Where's the verse that says words do it? As we talked about this morning, the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5:26. Same thing in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that we discussed this morning. Water is involved in the new birth. There are a lot of people who want to be dry cleaned. They don't want water. But Jesus says, unless you undergo the water and the Spirit, unless you cannot be born again. Water is there. Baptism is there. And so even if we didn't have any linguistic reasons to doubt what they have, which we have plenty of, They are still wrong because of the rest of the New Testament. We are buried with Christ in baptism, and we rise to walk in newness of life. That comes through baptism, not words. And yet they make it sound like you have your sins washed away by calling on His name. So I guess you call on the name of Christ and voila, your sins are gone. That's not what the New Testament teaches, however, in any way, shape, or form. The New World Translation has tried to destroy this connection because it does not fit their theology. But it remains in the Scriptures. Now, as we were going door to door this week, we saw what I believe is the very first issue of Watchtower for 2016. And guess what? The first article, about 3 pages long, talks about honesty. But they don't practice honesty. They praise truth, but then pervert their translation to purposely mislead people. They have no respect for the Bible. They try to pervert the truth. Examples of their mistranslations, we could probably spend easily an hour just doing that. I'm only going to mention one. John 8:58. If you know the Bible very well, you know what that says, and it doesn't say this. They have, before Abraham was, I have been. That is what is in the New World Translation. Now, the Greek word, eimi, is always translated, I am. I doubt that you could find anywhere else in even their own translation where they use I have been. Why did they do that? Because they don't believe Jesus is eternal. And John 8:58 shows it as clearly as any other passage in the Bible. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They cannot find anybody on the face of the earth, I doubt, that would agree with this horrible rendering. But then again, that's the way they look at things. If they don't like a particular passage, they just change it to say something that it does not say. This I have been is a theological translation, not a grammatical translation. In other words, here's our theology. Whoops! We can't have it say that, so we'll change it to something it never, ever means or is translated as. If you are a Jehovah's Witness and watching this through the internet, you must test what you have been taught in light of the truth. Forget the people who have taught you these things. Be honest. Look at a grammar. Look at any commentary. Look at several of them. There is not one who will agree with this rendering. You have to see they have been dishonest with you. Now, let's talk about authority for a minute. Is the Bible our authority? Yes. We don't have any books written by Joseph Smith. We don't have any books written by Ellen White. We don't have some alleged apostleship, which is still revealing the Word of God. We have the Bible. This is our authority. And this is our only authority. But the Bible is not the ultimate authority for Jehovah's Witnesses. Instead, it is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. That's their authority. Now you might say, well, how do you know that, or how can you prove that? Well, very simple. They don't hesitate to claim it. Fred Franz, one of the main translator of their translation, says, at any rate, he was asked the question, at any rate, Jehovah God is now the editor of the paper, meaning the Watchtower. Is that right? Franz, he is today the editor of the paper. God is the editor of their paper? That's a little bit much, don't you think? God already edited a paper. This is what God gave us. Watchtower comes from uninspired men. God is not their editor, but they claim that He is. Nathan Knorr, a president of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know sometimes when you use quotes, somebody might say, there was a member of the church who wrote something back in 1935. Well, okay, we don't always agree with what everybody says, but they aren't a president of our, we don't have that system, period, so we wouldn't have a president or anyone else. But, we don't subscribe. He's not a president. He's not a lead apostle. He's not something along those lines. This is their president. The world is full of Bibles. Which book contains the commandments of God? Why then do people not know which way to go? God has not arranged for His word to speak independently. What? Did you catch that? God has not arranged for His work to speak independently or to shine life-giving truths by itself. It is through His organization that God provides the light. In other words, you have to go through the watchtower if you want the true light that there is. And there is more. The Bible cannot properly be understood without Jehovah's visible organization in mind. What? Don't bother to pick up your Bible until you consult the watchtower, because you won't understand it. That's what they're saying. They don't believe the Bible is authoritative. They believe they are authoritative. And how sad is that? Now, Judge Rutherford wrote a book in 1920 called Millions Now Living Will Never Die. Page 1, the emphatic announcement that millions now living on earth will never die must seem presumptuous to many people. You think? Well, how many millions are there, do you suppose, that are alive that were here in 1920? I doubt that there's even 1 million, let alone millions. The Jehovah's Witnesses are no different from the Catholic Church, which says that the Pope is the one who delivers and interprets God's word today. They are no different, except instead of a Pope, they have watchtower. There is not anything more to be revealed. Remember 2 Peter 1:3? According as His divine power has given unto us, what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Catholic Church says, oh, no, no. You need the Pope's interpretations. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, oh, no, no. You need the watchtower. Mormons say, oh, no, no, you need Joseph Smith. And others have come along with other people. The Bible says it is sufficient. Consider Jude and verse 3. Notice Jude and verse 3. This is particularly relevant in this situation. Jude says, Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all given to the Pope, to the Watchtower, to the Mormons? No, which was once for all given to the saints, that is to Christians, to brethren. They had it in the first century, and it has not changed. People come along trying to do various other things, saying things that conflict with the Bible, that contradict the Bible, but the Bible is still valid as it was given to Christians in the first century. We have possessed the truth since then. All of the truth since then. Now, this particular book, I have a photocopy of this book as it was originally published. Written by Judge Rutherford, the second president, who followed Charles Taz Russell and was preceded Nathan Knorr. It was written in 1920, and there is the opening sentence of the book. But later on, we read, therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, pages 89 and 90. Now, it's 96 years later. I don't think we have millions left, and we need to look at another scripture in connection with this. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. When somebody writes something that doesn't come to pass, you already know what the answer to that is, but let's look it up anyway. Deuteronomy 18, beginning with verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Now, this was in Israel. We don't do this today, or a lot of us would be in jail, although there would be a lot fewer false prophets around. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How do you know? How do you know when somebody says something and it's not the word of the Lord? Okay, here's the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Well, didn't he use the word presumptuous himself? People will think this is presumptuous. Yes, it was presumptuous, and it was also false. And when somebody says something that is false and it does not come to pass, it is presumptuous, and that is a false prophet, and that person has not spoken by God. And that's how we know when someone is telling us a word from God or not, when they make predictions and they do not come to pass. Should we discuss how many times Jehovah's Witnesses has predicted the end of the world? It did not come to pass. The leadership of Jehovah's Witnesses is not to be trusted with handling the Word of God, with translating it, or with truth. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 that we read at the outset. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but as for you, continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that you learned them from the watchtower. Now, that's what they would have to tell their young people, isn't it? You can be assured of it because you learned it from the watchtower. And from a child, you have known the watchtower. That's where you have to go if you're a Jehovah's Witness, because the Scriptures can only be interpreted by them, which are able to make you wise to salvation through the watchtower and faith in the watchtower, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and subject to review by the watchtower, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can just replace the authority of the Scriptures with the authority of the watchtower, because that is precisely what they have done. The fact is, and you might have this as a legitimate question, why can't you be saved by what the Bible teaches? Why do you need the watchtower? Why can't you be saved by what the Bible teaches? Jesus said, except you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins. Before Abraham was, I am. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Peter taught, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Saul was told, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why can't you be saved by the Scriptures? No, they say, the watchtower has to take precedence. What do you think about an organization that intentionally mistranslates the word of Almighty Jehovah? The Bible doesn't mean anything in particular to them. The watchtower means everything. Their own prophecies that have failed ought to cause them to say something is wrong with our teaching. But they continue to follow it. Instead, they affirm our teaching is better than the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult, and their members are brainwashed. Johnny and I talked with a young man this week, and we asked him a couple of questions. He kept saying, I can't discuss that with you. We said, why not? He said, because I'm still learning. They don't want me talking to anyone. Can you imagine? And he didn't say that once. He said it about five times. They don't want me talking with them. Well, if we give you something, will you pass it along to them? No. What is wrong when you can't be free to inquire into the Word of God? They don't want their people discovering the truth until they are fully indoctrinated, and then they are hardened against the truth. That's why they do that. They are a cult. They do not want people thinking for themselves. The watchtower will do their thinking for them. Now, I know you've talked to people in various religions who may have told you something similar. I talked with a fellow many years ago, and he would not discuss the Scriptures. And I asked him why not. And he said, because the priest went to seminary and he's a smart man. I listened to him. The Bible was written to you. You shouldn't turn your soul over to someone else. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, not the Pope, not to me, not to anyone. The Word of God is what you need to submit yourself to, not a cult or someone who won't let you be free to think for yourself. This evening, if you have never obeyed the gospel and you know what you need to do, we stand ready to assist you if you're ready to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism. We can take care of that right now. If you're already a child of God, please appreciate the total freedom you have to study the Bible, because there are many people who are told don't do it. And they shouldn't listen to them, but they do. Be grateful for the freedom that you have in this country and in this culture to look, read, and study the Bible for yourself and come to the conclusions that the Bible teaches, not some man, not some council, not some group, but just the Word of God. If we can help you in any way spiritually this evening, let us know while we stand and while we sing.